Good afternoon. Let me go ahead and call the Mesa City Council study session of December 17th to order. We have five items. The first one is to review the items on the agenda for tonight's meeting that will start at 5:45. If you want to take a quick find those in our packet. There they are. There we go. All right. Page one is self-explanatory. Page two, the public hearing, liquor license applications, contracts, additional contracts on page three and four. We have one new item, 5J. Chance to look at that. Then we have the introduction and setting January 7th, 2008, on bottom of page four, continuing on page five. And 6B is on its introduction only. That's fine. Page 6. I think we've got a clarification on 6D and what's a conflict if you are a stockholder in that enterprise. You want to explain what that is again?
Yes, Mayor. The statute says, or defines a remote interest if you have less than 3% ownership of stock in the company and if you're annual income is less than, well, if the dividends from that stock contributed less than 5% of your annual income. So if you have stock ownership that exceeds 3%, you would have a conflict under the statute.
And they didn't get as far as to define capital appreciation of your stock. It's just pure dividends, right?
No, okay. They did not go to that level of detail, Mayor.
All right. That's page 6 then. Page 7. I think 7E, Mike, do you have a conflict with prehab? And then also, let's see, we have 7I, Mr. Truitt. Is that okay? All right, if you'll declare those upstairs when that's appropriate. And page 8, did you? Yes.
Mayor, I just have a clarification question. Back on 6D, mm-hmm. So there it should be taken off consent?
6D? No, it can be left on consent.
Okay, so there is no, you do not own stock that exceeds 3%.
That's correct.
Okay, I apologize.
Yes. Nope, it's good. Okay, page 8. Received a lot of emails and discussion on 8D. I'm not sure how many people are going to be there. Would be nice if we could get a representative from the neighborhood. Give them additional time if they want to designate a speaker on that one. If not, we'll have, I think, a substantial amount of blue cards if it follows from what we've received from email correspondence. But that's the one with the pawn shop over there on University Drive and Alma School. All right, that's page 8. Page 9. On 9A... Tom, I think we had a little discussion about that. That was the one that had the relating to general and economic development, came with a 2-1 vote.
Right, and it's really the same as 8A and 8B, I believe. It's the same issue. Off consent for the same reason.
Okay. And that had to do, I believe, with a couple of issues that you raised, increased fire standards for shell buildings.
Right, that was the main objection based upon my perception that we were trying to force developers to build more than they needed for their first round, and there might be additional expense or there might be additional difficulty if they have subsequent lessees, but I didn't think it was our job to dictate to them what the make that market decision for them.
Right, and that went through P&Z with the understanding that it would have the additional standard or they would not have to.
Mayor, these are changes to the building code. They're not required to go through the Planning and Zoning Board.
Okay. But the building code, as we would be adopting it tonight, would have one standard for fire, whether, is that correct? Because I thought we had some interim discussion on how we wanted that drawn up.
There was a discussion about whether or not there would be some opt-out rights.
And I may be confusing fire with electrical, trying to give a high enough electrical service through all of the buildings, too, that you don't have to go back in and retrofit, but I thought it was fire.
Right, it's just fire. It's the size of the sprinkler hose or the sprinkler pipe.
Okay. And what we are approving tonight, if we do, would be the larger size piping so that they could meet the higher standard at a later date if they needed to. Is that my understanding?
Good evening, Mayor. Terry Williams, Building Safety. No, the ordinance as proposed both in Title 7, Chapter 2, and the building code in Title 4 has similar language, which makes it a requirement to provide the higher level of sprinkler system design. So it not only would be the capacity there in the system, but it would actually be the higher level of sprinklers for a shell building and for a building that has more than 20 foot high of clear open space.
Okay, but somebody that was acquiring that shell building that didn't meet the usage standards could have gotten by with less.
If they were designing, if the building remained only type B occupancy, business occupancy, it would not need the higher level. It's where they modify, they come in and say it's going to be B, and later on they rent to mercantile operation or an assembly occupation. Then they have a problem. The sprinkler system is overtaxed. It has to be increased after the fact.
But wouldn't that be at their expense?
It is entirely at their expense.
Okay. So how do you then have a B occupancy building being shelled without having to take it to A standards, for lack of a better word?
Well, they can design and create the shell based on the lower standard.
They have that option.
But, does the spec builder still have the option to build at the lower standard, or are we mandating regardless they must build at the
we are mandating it as a requirement, and as an exception we're allowing the developer, owner of the property, to file a deed restriction that would identify that this building is being designed only for B occupancy, and that it would really a notice or an acknowledgement by that owner and subsequent owners put on notice that that building is restricted to B occupancies without a change in the sprinkler system.
Okay.
And so those are in there as exceptions.
So you could shell it out, sign whatever form you want, acknowledging that it doesn't meet the higher standard for the other type of usage, and as long as that's what you're ever going to use that building for, you're fine.
If it's only going to be offices, not a problem.
So I don't quite get why we need a code change. Seems like it's still there. Why don't you?
Well, essentially,
lacking them declaring that it's only B occupancy, is that the change?
Why don't you take that?
All right.
It's right now they can build with a B occupancy size pipe and design, and they don't have to do anything. Under the new code, if we adopt this tonight, they would either have to build to the A standard, whether they intended to use it as A or not, or build it to B standards but sign a deed restriction that limits the building to a B occupancy unless
they upgrade.
Unless they upgrade, but they'd have to upgrade anyway is my argument, because they couldn't get a C of O for the A occupancy without the upgrade. My point is that we're requiring the developer who wants to build a B building to pay for an A infrastructure whether he ever intends to use it or not.
Or so address the C of O issue. If somebody built it to a B standard and wanted to then occupy it at an A level, they would have to go back in and retrofit those, or they go find another place to lease.
That's correct, ma'am.
And what's wrong with that? Why are we changing this?
One of the reasons for that is we have businesses who are renting property from owners that aren't as honest as we would hope they would be, and they lease it to them anyway, and they find out after the fact, after they've moved in, that they're now underprotected by sprinkler system, and it costs them an exorbitant amount to retrofit that building, and sometimes even have to go all the way to the street and replace the underground.
So wouldn't they have an action against their whoever leased the building to them for lying to them that it would accommodate a type of tenants, a level, usage? I mean, why is the city getting involved in solving this problem? I guess this is kind of where I get to.
Mayor, I think part of the issue is that these are spec buildings. So at the beginning, I think the concern from staff and the experience has been they don't know what it's going to become. And I think what we're trying to suggest is the motivation is to spec it at the higher standard as a default so that that allows for the accommodation, again, spec building, being allowed them to have the flexibility to put in these other uses, as opposed to us kind of being us, now the city, being put in a position of enforcement on a kind of a gotcha after they've already have been leased out, they've moved in, our fire prevention personnel are out there doing inspection, I'm assuming that may be the one way we find this out. Now we are in a dilemma. You've already got a business that signed a lease and maybe operating for some period of time, and now we're telling them they're really not a conforming use. And so I guess it just depends on where you want to use the leverage for the enforcement, but they do have the option under the provision, I think as mentioned, that if they decide, no, I will always market it at B, then they can. And that will certainly give us, I think we feel like, a little more disclosure and what may happen into the future.
But if I was leasing from someone and they had agreed 5 years earlier to always market it at B and they signed a deed restriction, I doubt very much if I'd pick up the guy's deed and look and see how it was restricted. I'd still occupy the tenant if he told me it was suited, and then we'd say, still have the same issue, wouldn't we? How does a deed restriction notice get passed on to the person doing a occupancy? Because you don't normally read deed restrictions if you're going to sublease out one spot.
Mayor, it wouldn't likely be to a tenant, but a future owner of the building. If the current developer sold it to a future owner, they would be put on notice through the deed restriction that that building could only be used for B occupancy.
All right.
Well, Mayor, actually, that's a, if I may, that's actually a pretty good idea or pretty good reason why we would want to have these folks put in the piping to sprinkler the building at the highest level within the B category. Part of the problem is that most businesses can open up with very little oversight. Certainly doesn't come to this council, and the first time that you notice them there is when fire inspection finally makes their way into those businesses. They don't have a license. There's very few businesses that require a council use permit. So if a business were to, in a B category, you can have different businesses. You might be able to have a flower shop next to a dentist shop next to a card shop. The card shop is going to be the highest use because of all the paper that's involved. It's going to put out more BTUs, more fire, than the dentist office would. So by sprinkling to the B standard or the highest level of standard, which would be the card shop, you cover all the uses within that category. It limits the liability that the city has because we know that that building will be designed to that standard. Now, if they want to upgrade to another level of category higher, that's a whole different topic. But taking it for this, it's just within that, the uses within that category will be covered.
But following that logic, why wouldn't you want concrete tip-up buildings with steel plating and some type of argon?
We're going out
something. I mean, at some point, the one that's constructing the building has to figure out how much economically he wants to invest and what his tenant mix is going to be. So, but I understand with the fire department coming out, how do you get in that mix? And after the fact, you don't look too popular saying, hey, you guys can't be here. So we're trying to figure out how to increase our popularity somehow, or not our negatives. All right, Vice Mayor.
And I think that that's where we were headed, Mayor. And that's why I supported this, because it allowed the opt-out provision. So somebody can go in and say, I never intend to use this for anything other than a B occupancy. I'm not going to develop it to A standards. I'm going to develop it to B standards. But it then puts everybody on notice. Maybe they don't read that deed, but you know, we've got it and we can show them. This isn't the fire department that suddenly come in and made these new rules. Look, the guy who built this building and whoever the subsequent owners are knew what these restrictions were. They knew what the guidelines were. And so this isn't about the city being the bad guy. This is about somebody agreeing to something and then changing their mind. So because we have the opt-out provision, it really didn't give me much heartburn.
Good, Tom?
But the opt-out provision doesn't
get to the tenant from the second owner. You're right, Mayor, that the tenant who converts this wants to put in
card shop?
No, let's go beyond a card shop now.
Restaurant.
A restaurant.
A occupancy.
Wants to go into an A occupancy. You know, I don't have any problem with having them shell out to the B occupancy, whatever the maximum is of the B. But they're saying we've got to build it out to an A, even if it's a B building. Right?
Well, they can opt out.
How you want to?
Unless they opt out. But you're requiring them to put in the biggest one possible.
They declare, right?
Yes, and our attempt with this is to protect those business owners that, in their ignorance, who aren't familiar with the building codes and aren't familiar with owning buildings, that they're merely leasing spaces, that they can be assured that when they lease their space, that they'd be leased for what they intend to do business with, whether it be A or B.
Right. And so what Scott said about building up within the B category, I don't have a problem with maxing that out. But you're talking about forcing a person who just wanted to have B occupancies to build an A pipe. And let's suppose that they opt out and do a deed restriction, which I don't like, because when you start adding things onto the title of land, it becomes complicated. But let's assume that you do that. The owner, the second owner of that building, may have notice of the deed restriction, but the tenant who wants to open a restaurant, who's going to lease it from the second owner, isn't going to, because tenants don't look at underlying deeds. And your point about we're going to give more protection to people who don't know what they're doing, you know, just doesn't sell with me. You're forcing people who want to build a B building to spend more money than they would need to do because of something that might happen in the future, either to protect them or to protect us from having to tell them that they need to do something. And neither of those, in my mind, justify the additional regulatory burden and the additional regulatory cost on that builder. So that's my position. I think it's, you know, clear, and I think we can settle it upstairs.
I think it will be settled upstairs. Kyle?
The proposal you're presenting to us now is really bringing us more in line with what other Valley cities are doing as far as the guidelines where we will require, we're asking them to build to the upper end standard for the business operation, not just office, but retail and so forth, not the high end, not the real upper top high flow. We're talking about the upper end of that category. Is that what we're looking at, or are you talking about all the way up to the max?
What you said originally, we're coming in line with other Valley cities in providing these next step of additional flow.
But what is that next step? We need that clarification all the way.
In technical terms, from the installation standard for sprinklers, we're going from light hazard occupancy to a ordinary 2.
And what falls in the ordinary 2 category?
That's what's required for a mercantile occupancy.
For a mercantile, for all your retail.
Correct.
Which a typical strip mall would be.
Correct.
A typical strip mall, do they just do that class B, or are you talking about just an office building is what's typically going to be your class B?
The office building.
An office building is B.
Correct. Your typical office.
The retail is an M occupancy.
And what is the difference in the flow? I mean, it depends on your square footage, but the typical, you're running from an inch and a half to 2 inch for your main line, or what are you doing?
The typical flow is a 0.1 GPM over 1,500 square feet for a light hazard occupancy, and 0.17 over 1,500 GPM, or over 1,500 square feet for an ordinary 2. The difference in cost between those two that I've gotten from the contractors is about 10%. Difference in cost.
For the initial putting it in.
For just the sprinkler system.
And if they have to come back and go out to the street, dig up and all that, to hold different costs. But we're talking about a basic, but it's within that category, basically. Instead of the minimum of the bottom end of that category, we're going to the top end of the category.
Actually, the top end of the category is much higher than that. And when you get into extra hazard.
Well, I'm talking about the extra hazard. We're just talking about everyday business.
Correct.
Not with the high hazard stuff.
That's correct.
But it's more going in line with what the rest of the Valley communities have right now.
That's correct.
Okay.
When they come in and show prints, do you ever point out to them that for 10% more, if you're a B occupancy, you could actually put in sprinklers for an A occupancy when it's constructed? Can you do that on the plans, make suggestions as opposed to make it as a requirement?
We could do that, Mayor, but typically we're looking to see that they do comply with the code. So if this passes this evening, it would become a code requirement as a minimum.
Yeah.
Up to this point, we would have just approved it unless they didn't have sufficient capacity in the line or the sprinkler system designed incorrectly in some other
fashion. Because to pass on that, if it truly is only 10% more, there may be somebody that wants the flexibility and they'll agree to do it. That if they've already lined up their tenants for the B occupancy and they don't want to spend the extra money, then that I think that should be their choice. And I'm not sure the deed restriction, especially with the turnover, I mean, those buildings are going to sell every 5-7 years on a commercial building or less if it follows a real estate market. So there's going to be a lot of turnover, and back to the same problem.
Mayor, we would expect their architect and engineer design team to make those recommendations to the owner and let them decide what's financially the best.
Yeah. But in one case, you're saying that would be the architect and engineer, but in another case, you're saying we should change our code so it goes to an A standard as opposed to B. So one time we're telling them what to do, and the other one we're saying they're smart enough to know what they should do themselves.
I think that would be true unless their direction is to stay with the B occupancy. They could stay at the lower level if they chose to.
Okay. All right. We'll have some more discussion and a vote upstairs on this one. Thank you. All right. That's page 8. Page 9. I think we hit part of that, too. Oh, yes, Tom.
I'm just curious, why is 9B off the consent? Because I didn't think that there was that's the fees. Did we have a split vote on that?
No. Any objection to putting 9B back on? I don't want to put 9B back on the consent. The LEED certification, I think that may have been part of it. Building safety. Because the fees for the LEED, there was some discussion, I believe, on rebating the dollar magnitudes after 2 years or something. Why is the city, how do we benefit from energy conservation by giving rebates to buildings that do that? Environmentally friendly is, I thought they did that for their own image and energy efficiency, not to get a city rebate. So that was my question on that aspect. Yeah. I mean, it was your minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, B's off. All right. Okay, we'll have that discussion upstairs too, I think, then. That's page 9. Page 10. Okay. And we did confirm on photo safety that non-sworn officers, state statute allows it. All right, then I'm okay with 11.
Just a comment on that. This came from the Public Safety Committee with an unanimous vote. We think it's going to bring this program to the point to where it's economically feasible. It's not going to make money. But I'm very comfortable in the management. I think that was some of our problems that we'd had in the past. I think the police department has got this under control, and I look forward to some positive results, both in lowering accidents and keeping it economically feasible.
Okay, let's go to number 2.
Slow down, Mesa. There's a lot more coming.
Yeah. Hear a presentation discussing provide direction on the projects included in the anticipated November 2008 bond election, including the street light projects. I think we postponed this one for Councilmember Whalen to come back, but Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I've had the opportunity to think about this over the weekend, and I apologize to my fellow council members for whom this will come as a surprise, but I couldn't talk to you without violating open meeting law. So I am going to request that we not move this forward, and thinking about it over the weekend, I don't want to have a split vote on this. I simply do not want to have a vote. I don't want to have a 4-3 vote. I think it sends the wrong message about the bond package. The bond package is too important. And for that reason, I am just going to, it's not because I don't think that this is critically important. I still believe in what I was saying, but I don't want to have a split vote on it. So for that reason, Mayor, I am requesting that we withdraw this. I don't know what kind of a motion you need or anything else, but.
Well, it's for discussion. Let's see if there's any direction.
Can I just
Yes, you, Mayor, Council, you can just discuss it now. You can also, you know, if you want to, well, I guess I would just leave it now because it's off consent anyway, and upstairs the motion would be to, you know, we have three different options. You could pick option one, two, or three that's included in the packet. One is not including streetlights in either bond package. There's another one including it in transportation, and there's the third one including it in public safety.
So if I made the motion, it would be a motion for option one. That's what you're telling me, Ms. Spinner.
Under what agenda item is that?
It's 7I. And seven. Vice Mayor, I'd have to check to see exactly seven. Which one is 7I. Brian probably knows off the top of his head here.
Yeah, it's an agenda item 7I. It's the first Exhibit A1 that does not include any funding for streetlights. It's basically the ballot questions are okay. Where that is identified.
I'll make sure I get that motion right before.
Mayor, if I could, and this is really maybe to Debbie Spinner, is my typing of this on Friday, the ballot question should read for street bonds $230,600,000, not $500,000.
I'm sorry, Brian, can you restate that?
On question two, right. On the street bonds, the amount should be $230,600,000.
It is fine to make that change here during the, because this is only a resolution, during the motion, or unless we make it the change right now, as long as council is sufficient, we will change this to be $230,600,000. So if you approve option A1, it will be with that change, if that's in agreement with council.
I assume it was a typo. You didn't add 100,000 someplace.
Mayor, it was really 230,565,000, and needed to round up instead of rounded down on that one.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then, Brian, just for clarification, the number under public safety, the $178,200,000,
correct,
includes the fire station that we added 2 weeks ago?
It does include the additional fire station. It also includes $500,000 for an additional 12 lead cardiac monitor program.
Okay, good. And why is the round up? Why don't you go to 565? Why do you?
Because when we sell these in denominations of $10,000, Mayor, it's easier for the bond sale process. At the end, we usually round to the nearest 100,000 on these.
So then, round it to 570. You're doing 100,000 increments, not 10.
If that's your pleasure, we can do that too, Mayor. But we typically round to the nearest 100,000 on these. But
you're going to decide later when you sell them. Anyway.
You're right.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Is 7I on the consent?
No.
No, it's
never
not.
Pruitt.
Oh, that's right. It's off anyway. So we'll have that discussion upstairs then. All right. Okay. Number three is acknowledging receipt of minutes of various boards and committees. Motion?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Hear reports on meetings under conferences attended. Scott?
Turn that on first. Mayor, I was at the Mesa Gateway Airport Board meeting today. We had a pretty good discussion about the development on airport, what that was going to look like, and how that was going to tie to what was being developed offside. And then we also mentioned that we were some 14,000 passengers. Yes, 14,000 passengers have flown in last month, and that was about 80%, 70 to 80% of capacity. So that was very good news for the airport.
Okay. Anyone else? Vice Mayor.
Councilmember Whalen, Councilmember Jones, and I were at the, and Chris Brady were at the event at the Museum for Youth on, is that Saturday night? Friday night. And it was a wonderful event. The Jim Henson exhibit is there right now, and for those of us who have kids, grandkids, or we're just kids ourselves, it's just a great reminder of all the great work that Jim Henson did, and a very fun exhibit, and it was a great event, and great work done by Sunny Spencer on that. We appreciate her efforts.
Okay. I had a all-day seminar on Friday on transportation issues. It was basically a statewide one in which they're looking at the framework studies for different areas of the state of Arizona, seeing if they are interested in bringing forward a statewide transportation election at some point in the future. So the discussion took place with how do you gather enough information, which interstate highways, which roads, what type of transportation network, from commuter rail to just about everything in between, even aviation was discussed. So I think over the next 2 years, you'll hear more about how to fund it, what projects would be in the mix, and what the framework studies would look like for the different areas of the state of Arizona, how that connects into Mexico, California. The whole global network is even somewhat mixed into this. So that's kind of one of those stay tuned, more is coming. And I thought it was a good meeting. Some of our East Valley legislators indicated that 2008 would be almost impossible to ever get all the work done to take it out for a statewide election, but they're looking now at 09. And I've always thought that 010 was probably the best myself, but that would be one that Mesa and the council, and we'll have to see if we're going to be contributors, what transportation infrastructure our city would like to submit into this statewide plan for funding. So that's one that's in the works. Anyone else? Okay. Scheduling of meetings and general information, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder to the council that our last meeting for 2007 will be this Thursday, December 20th at 7:30 a.m. And our first meeting of the 2008 will be Thursday, January 3rd at 7:30 a.m. Okay. Thank you.
My birthday. Thank you.
Happy birthday. Mm-hmm. All right. That is it for the study session. So let's entertain a motion to adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We're adjourned.